This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Attitude.
Line down the left field line. It is a fair ball. One run scores. Two run score. Everybody scores. It's a bases clearing. Big pinch hit for Albañez. And it is now 5-2 Detroit.
That's got to hurt, man. The man calling the game didn't even know the dude's name, Andy Albañez.
Well, he had had a forgettable couple of weeks.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, if with all due respect to Andy, I mean, the entirety of the career is not one that's like a particularly notable necessarily. But yeah, I remember being at NRG Stadium as we were. We had a company event up there, and you could see all the various people. At that point, the event had kind of loosened up into like a happy hour. So everybody was kind of milling about, getting various people with phones, watching the game, and you could see like the energy in the entirety of that place.
Just look at our engineer Andy.
Oh yeah, no.
Oh, he was dying
every time because I wasn't paying attention to it. I wasn't following the game, so I would look at him.
He became the town crier.
Just shake his head.
Yeah, he became the town crier. He was walking around letting people know. Oh yeah.
Well, my battery died. I was watching the game. Don't tell Sarah or Parker, but I was watching the game.
Thankfully, she can't hear this.
while they were. Speaking and we were having our guests up front, which by the way, they did a fantastic job. I heard every word, but I'm watching the game.
Name three of them.
Hello, everybody.
Yeah, okay. Those are words.
What? And my battery went out right as the Astros had the bases loaded.
Oh man,
about to score, and I'm like, they're gonna open this summer gun up. It's gonna be 7-1. You know, and next thing I know, I walk over to Andy and he's shaking his head. I was like, what happened?
No, I seen it when it was like 2-1 and the Astros was up.
That was when I handed you the phone.
Yeah, I'm like, okay. As soon as I looked at it, it was a base hit. I was just like, oh, man. I'm like, take it away from me. And then Andy pulled it up.
But
it was like, yeah, this is not good.
It was that bases clearing hit that ultimately meant the end of the season in all reality, because that made it 5-2, which was the final where the Tigers – finished off the Astros in the wild card series. And the question that obviously came up was like, does this feel like the end for these Astros? Because the window of contention has always been kind of a thought process for this team.
Out of baby figgy. I mentioned you asked this question earlier. And I said,
I still have to be here for a whole nother hour.
I said, the worst thing about it to me that hurt the most was it felt like last call. You know, you're at the bar, you had a great time, you're at the you know, wherever, the restaurant, the club, and they turn up the lights, and you're like, oh, man, I got to get my last drink, and then I got to go home. And it was kind of like that melancholy kind of feeling.
Oh, look at that word.
Man.
I mean, it's a good word to describe it, 100%.
It really was. It was melancholy. It wasn't like totally distraught, totally sad. But
not
just,
yet.
It was just sort of like...
I worked my way to that.
Yeah, just sort of like... So the question that I had, as I'm digesting this, is was it?
Well, I think in order to answer that question, we have to start looking at how they look going forward, right? Because here's the thing about all right, are we really going to play this the whole time?
Yes, we are. Damn.
Oh,
yes, we are.
Oh, my God. I'm just being a jerk now at this point. Like, in order to maintain this type of long span, you have to reinvent yourself at times, right? Like, you don't stay at the height of a sport or at the height of your powers for a decade without reinventing yourself and finding a new iteration. And it feels like you are definitely at a crossroads where you're going to have to do some of that. Are they capable of doing that in order to get themselves to a place where it's not closing time, right?
Yeah.
You pry that window open, you push the door open or kick it open for a little bit longer, and you can continue to walk through that door. And so when it comes to how they look going forward, obviously, the places that you already had openings at are ones that you're going to have to fix. And that is, hey, can you get a first baseman that can actually like be a positive contributor to offense? Because you have some tent poles, and maybe I'm being greedy, right? Maybe you have enough guys offensively that can be the foundation of what you're doing. But I feel like you should also have a first baseman that does that as well.
You would think, but don't tell that to Dana Brown. Dana Brown was interviewed today.
Yeah, I mean, exit meetings, I guess.
Exit press conference, and was asked about the first base issue and some of the things going forward. And he said, hey, we had Yuli Gurriel and won a World Series.
Put that sauce on it. I love
that. Taquerias Arandas.
Taquerias Arandas.
And he said, hey, we had Yuli Gurriel and won a World Series, and he wasn't very good. He basically said that.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, that's kind of harsh.
Yeah.
But here's where I am with you guys. And I'm curious from the listeners, obviously texting and on YouTube and Twitch, did it feel like last call? And then the why and why not? I actually put together a list.
Okay.
I put together a list. I'm going to read both why and why not it could be last call for the Astros. And I want you guys to digest it, and because I couldn't quite decide. So you want the why or the why not first?
I would say why.
Why it's not over.
Okay.
Why it's not over. Okay.
Why it's not over. They really did find some young arm talent.
Absolutely.
They really did.
The pitching staff that you have, because you also have to remember, like, what you finished with was pretty solid.
Yeah.
And obviously, Hunter Brown established himself incredibly. Mm-hmm. Spencer Arrighetti, there's stuff to build upon there in a great way. We'll talk about that as we continue. Ronel Blanco, not necessarily young, but he has found stuff. Plus, you still have guys coming back. Christian Javier should still make his way back. Luis Garcia should still make his way back.
Jose Urquidy.
Urquidy. Lance McCullers is there, I guess. But like you have a lot of, I don't know what to do with that. I'm just going to be honest. I don't know what to do with that at this point, because any time that you're optimistic about that, you're like, here it comes. And it feels like Charlie Brown trying to kick a football. Yeah. Right? So I don't know what to do with that just yet.
Yeah.
But you have a mass. You have quite a bit of talent pitching, and a lot of it is cheap as well. A lot of it is pre-arbitration or in arbitration. So, like, you have a situation that sets up very nicely for having a ton of pitching that maybe can also be a wealth, that can be a little bit of the wallet to work out of to then help you in other places.
Yeah. So, everything you said was on my why it's not over list. In addition...
Oh, did I just take all your...
No. That's why we're here, man.
Okay.
In addition, I said, despite game one, Fromber is really more than reliable. He's on the brink. He'll never get there, I don't think, but he's on the brink of being an ace.
Yeah, he might just need to be in a better situation as opposed to being game one starter. Maybe he falls a little bit further back into that rotation. Yeah.
Brian Abreu is just 27. Plus, you still, for what it's worth, you know, you still have a back end rotation that on paper and certainly, you know, in moments has been pretty good. I also put on there that, you know, the 7-8-9, as I said, is really good. Joe Espada might not be great, but he proved himself to be very, very good and a guy that can kind of rally the troops.
And there's room to grow. Because when it comes to managing, experience still matters in this. Mm-hmm. I understand, like, the analytics will help shape decisions, but there's something there to be said when it comes to playoff baseball. There's still a lot of feel. There's still a lot of, just kind of decisions that get made because of, institutional knowledge. It's one of the things I always talk about with basketball is coming back around to the Warriors.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that made them so great is that you get to the postseason, and now instead of just, hey, what is the kind of book smart answer to this? They have tangible evidence on, hey, you remember when we worked on, when we saw this against this particular team in this year, we have answers in our pockets that we have used and tested that we can get to. And Espada did not have that. He's building more of that as he continues.
Yeah. And then the last thing I had on my why it's not over list is, contrary to what a lot of people might think, they actually have some payroll to play with in 2025. Now, why not? Why might it be last call? Why you know, is it actually ending? I've got on my list, Altuve is going to be 35, man.
Yes.
Altuve's going to be 35 next year.
And the defense isn't getting any better.
Yep.
Within that, like the movement and all those things, that's not going to get any better.
Part of the why not, you can't have both Kyle Tucker and Alex Bregman. You got to make a call here, I feel. Tucker's market value is 7 years, this is according to SpotRac, 7 years, $200 million.
Is that what it's called?
SpotRac?
I never know what it's, is that what it's, how it's supposed to be pronounced? Do you know?
Well, how do you pronounce it?
I say SpotRac, but I have no idea.
It's SpotRac.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Okay. I just didn't know. Sorry, I didn't mean to stop.
Never thought about
now,
it. Like
now
it.
You got me thinking about it.
SpoTrac.
I never said SpoTrac.
Yeah, they don't have one letter particularly elevated to where it would give you any indication. I have no idea. Sorry, my bad.
No, now you got me.
My mind blown.
Yeah,
now.
I know. Mine too.
We've been saying it wrong all this time.
Yeah, it's baseball SpoTrac.
And then Bregman is going to be 31 with a market value of 4 years, $120 million. So you can't sign two players at that age for $320 million. I mean, especially with Altuve already here, you know, and what he's getting. So that's you got to pick one or the other, or maybe neither's going to end up here. We'll see. Verlander won't be back.
No, that's 20-some million, that 22 and a half that from this season that you won't be spending there.
Yeah.
That I guess you're saving in some ways. Of course, the 19 and 14 of Hader and Presley are still there. There's a lot of places where, as you mentioned, there's some salary that you can work with.
It's more than you think. It's more than you think. But is it that? Because by the way, another thing and another piece of my why not list here, Fromber's going to have to get paid. You know, Fromber's going to have to get paid at some point.
Fromber's still arbitration eligible.
He is, but
for this next season. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it is worth noting that you still have Tucker. Tucker is still also arbitration
one more.
Eligible.
Man, he's been on in arbitration for 27 years. And then another part of this is
that's the way that they get them.
Yeah, 7 years, right?
Yeah, you just got to keep dealing with that for a long, long time.
They still desperately need a first baseman and an outfielder. I mean, you still have to get a first baseman.
Yeah,
I don't care what Dana Brown says.
Hell, they won the World Series with a sorry ass first baseman.
Yeah,
last time I checked, they could have kept Jose Abreu.
if you are in the chance that you go, I guess maybe the way that Dana Brown like kind of might be, I don't know if hinting at is saying too much about it, but if you don't end up going outside and finding a first baseman,
yeah, he's gonna make do.
Caratini, are do you, making him a
make
first
do.
Baseman?
You're gonna make do. Yeah,
do you feel
not really. Good. No. Okay. Hayward's probably gone. He's 36, and it was a one-year deal. I mean, this is the last year of his deal, I believe. Singleton's 34.
Hayward's 34. Gamble's 32.
Singleton's 34, right? But anyway, they're all aging and probably not going to be back. And then there's this. Do you trust the back end of the bullpen?
He said... That's a good question. I mean, the two guys that you're paying a whole bunch of money, I can understand why you would look at them and say that I do not trust them. Dana Brown did point to, like, Hader only gave up, he only had three blown saves in the course of the season. And, like, hey, that's not a lot. You still, I understand the reasons why people are frustrated, but I tend to side with Dana Brown, and maybe I just have not had enough of the heartbreak to feel that. But Josh Hader, there's reason to believe. I understand with Presley, though. I get the frustration there.
Yeah.
But that's a lot of money that you're paying there. Not to continue to put everything in the context of money, but as you're building a team, it's gonna come up. So those two guys, that makes it a little tough to feel great about it, but it's better than a lot of teams, I think, is fair and worth considering. Plus, bullpen arms are, in theory, the easiest to acquire in the course of a season.
Mm-hmm. So what's y'all's final answer? I just gave you a list of why it might be last call, why it might not be last call.
I think it might not be last call, but it's going to take some navigating here. I think that you can get Bregman back. I think that the thank you Houston tweet might have been negotiating through the media, although it being social media in this instance. Bregman, after the game, saying that he hopes to be back. I know that he's going to leave it in the hands of his representation, Scott Boras, but Jose Altuve got out here and was like really adamant talking about, I mean, how many cuts do we have, Figgy, where Jose Altuve
it was seven
about?
Total cuts. It was like five of them on Bregman.
I mean, we could play all of them, but basically they all come down to, I can summarize them.
I love you, man.
Bregman got to be here. Like, I love him.
Pay him whatever.
He matters here. And that's not something that comes out of thin air. Like, yeah. We know this. We've heard all the stories about the various ways off the field, the mm-hmm. intangible things that Bregman does that is, like, being the heart and soul of this team. I think that those things are valuable. Plus, you have some good analogs in that space to where I think the negotiation shouldn't be as difficult. And that's going to be valuable enough to, like, you use some of that there. And if you have Bregman, I think you can answer some of these questions with some of these other positions because you have the space. You just need to make sure that you hit.
Figgy, what's your final answer? Last call or nah?
I think to me, the way they was rolling this year, I'm going to probably say nah.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think right now is bleep or get off the pot.
Yeah.
Like, you either go, if you feel like you can win another one, you still have a chance, you got to pretty much go in. If not, tear this sucker down, man.
Wow. Yeah, 713 says probably an overreaction. They trade Hader and DFA press. Okay. All right.
That's a lot.
But yeah.
We're going to an after hours bar. Hey, that's a good answer.
There we go. It's not closing.
Party
now.
Ain't over.
We might need to shift the location, but yeah, and I think that's probably
the hotel lobby, right? Then you go to the hotel lobby.
And what's funny is coming into the season, I probably would have guessed that the answer would be it is mm-hmm. it is coming to win. But I honestly, for some reason, there's something in this team that makes me think that you could find a way to pry this thing open a little bit further. All right. In the Loop, Sports Radio 610. I just hope I'm right there. I wonder how much of that is like actual analysis and how much of the hope is beginning to filter in there. But all right, coming up next. Well, actually, before we come up next, it is worth noting that the drive at 2:15 will have a follow run show. Fatu Kasi, defensive tackle.
Okay.
He'll be joining the drive as well as Danny Cannell at 3. So that's something to look forward to as we continue on Sports Radio 610. But coming up next specifically, time to get Figgy Fig even more involved, hand the ball to him with the mixtape. Fig, what you got?
Man, so one of my favorite rappers of all time is holding the microphone in the pulpit now. Webster added some new words and terms. I'll let you know what they are. And plus, some awkward things about a company mix and mingle.
Oh, okay.
Courtesy of yesterday.
Okay, that's
very
good.
It sounds like we're in for a great mixtape. That's coming up next.
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The aux cord and crank up the volume. Figgy Figs in the driver's seat. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the ride. It's time for Figgy's Mixtape on Sports Radio 610.
Yes, it is Figgy's Mixtape on Sports Radio 610. It's your man Figgy Fig holding it down on a Thursday. Happy Thursday to everyone out there. And I gotta do a special salute to one of my favorite rappers of all time,
mm-hmm.
Project Pat.
Hey.
Who is now Pastor Project Pat.
Is
now.
He really?
Yeah, he's a pastor. He's been preaching in a church in Arkansas, and Lopez looking like he have no idea who Project Pat is.
No, I was hanging out with him yesterday.
Hey, I don't know if you heard this song before, but this is Project Pat.
Oh, come on, yeah. Okay, see, I don't know. Yeah.
Oh, you were going to know Project Pat.
Yeah, I don't know who the artists.
Yeah. So he is officially a pastor. He actually been preaching for about, or not preaching, but he turned his life over to God, I want to say in 2020.
Mm-hmm.
So this kind of been going on for a little bit. I noticed it, I want to say earlier this year. I'm like, is this really Project Pat? Is he
really? Yeah.
So he was in, going to jails and preaching to the, you know, talking a good word to the inmates and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I'm going to go to I want to say this is Fox 13 in Memphis.
They
actually had a little story on them.
Making music since the 1990s to becoming one of the country's best known rappers while performing with his brother Juicy J and 3-6 Mafia. A realization that his talents and gifts were now needed for a very different purpose.
So God gives people out here gifts of influence. I was using my gift in the wrong way.
But then God put you on this whole path to live all this, to get you here.
Well, he brought me through it, I tell you that.
Man, salute to him.
I want
to
hear one of his sermons.
I want to go to his church.
I want to hear a sermon.
Y'all are in the same place. All right, so we making a trip then?
Yeah. Hey, I want
to
hear a sermon.
Hey, let's go to Arkansas, man, so we can see Pastor Project Pat.
Yeah.
Around here.
he gave us a little mace on that, a little Reverend Al Green. Like, this is not entirely
No, he seemed legit, though.
But yeah, he absolutely does. Yeah. Right, for sure.
And a little on his background, and I didn't know this, but... His past, his father was a pastor.
Okay, didn't realize he was a PK.
And so the funny thing is, somebody made a hilarious tweet saying his pastor. So people that don't know, Juicy J is his brother.
Every time someone says Juicy J, I want to do the ad lib, and I'm like, you can't do that on radio.
Yeah, nah, shut up.
Yeah, exactly.
But so they're brothers, and so they had the same pops, which was a pastor. And somebody made a hilarious tweet saying their father birthed 666 Mafia, which is known for like the demon type stuff.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yep.
But salute to him, man. It's good to see him in a good space.
For
I
sure.
I got 2 3 6 Mafia songs on my playlist here.
Okay, excellent. Yeah. Which ones? Wait, before
Stay Fly.
We're gonna do the guess game. All right, Stay Fly. And what's the
guess?
Other?
The other one.
Let's see.
Come on, man. This is me you're talking about.
Damn. You say that like I'm supposed to know.
I was going
to
say this might be 2 in the sticks for you. I was going to say Sipping on Some Scissor.
That one is I've heard, but that's not on the list. Popping My Collar, man.
Okay. Yeah, of course.
That's about that era. Yeah.
That makes sense. I should have went with that one. The only thing that caught me in that one is that he said that he was using his gifts in the wrong way, which made me wonder like how he feels about his music career in general now. I'm not gonna stop listening to it. I am intrigued like how he feels about it, and like does he still look fondly on it, but also has turned himself into a different place, or is he just like, man, I was out there sinning and all that is bad now.
He should own it, man. Yeah.
Nah, I think for him, I think that's a testimony. That's a journey.
For sure.
He had to 100%. Go through that to get where he is now. And he had a rough life going through prison and all that stuff. So I think he's in a good place right now. It's just so weird seeing a Pastor Project Pat.
Yeah.
that's how you know you're getting older.
Yeah, man. But salute to him.
For sure.
Figgy Smith staple in the Loop Sports Radio 610. Webster released some new words. Oh. They added some new words and phrases. And I got to ask you, when was the last time y'all actually looked in the dictionary, man?
Online, I do. But not an actual dictionary.
Yeah, I haven't had a physical dictionary in a long time. Although I used to be real fond of physical dictionaries because I don't know if you could tell or not. A lot of words. Because my mom used to be like the parent where if you asked her something, she'd go look it up. And so me and that Merriam-Webster were like, this son, man, like this.
I carried a thesaurus and a dictionary with me for probably 20 years. Everywhere I went.
An AP style book?
Yep. And an AP. Well, that one you're supposed to know by heart, but maybe I did.
I'll see if I can catch him. I want to see if I can catch him.
Yeah. So, a couple words they added to it. I want to get y'all thoughts on this. They added touch grass.
No idea what
that's wild. For real?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Words and phrases.
Without letting them know what touch grass means, what do you think that you
This is a total.
Is it kind of like. What is it? I am where my feet are, or whatever that saying is.
It's not even that deep, man. Yeah.
It basically, you say that to me like, hey, get outside. Like, you need to go get some air. You've been inside on the compete keyboard too.
That makes sense.
Yeah, because if you go in the comment section and people are digging deep into stuff that don't even matter.
Go touch grass, man.
Go outside. Go play.
Yeah, you've been on this computer too long. You can go outside. Yeah.
I know your parents say, get off that game. Go outside.
That's a good one. I'm going to have to start using
that. Go touch grass.
Yeah. Nepo baby.
Okay.
Was added to it.
Okay. Makes sense. I think we know what that is.
This one, I never heard this term, but beach read.
I've used that.
Beach read?
It's a beach read.
Okay. Oh,
like a brain candy book.
Got you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Another one is IDGAF. So
that's in the dictionary?
I don't give a bleep.
Yes.
Well, I mean, it's part of our lexicon, and the dictionary is not a rule book, but reflection.
But it's an acronym.
Yeah, but people now say acronyms instead of just them representing acronyms. They become
I'm anti this one. I'm not a fan.
Language stickler over here, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm flexible on some of these, but not an acronym.
All right. So this one, Nick Caserio actually used this during the offseason.
Mm-hmm.
Badassery.
Oh, okay.
Ah, I like it.
They added
self-explanatory.
That. Yeah, added that to it.
General badass. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, another one, true crime, which is kind of like a new genre of podcasts.
It's
and
all over
TV shows. Yeah,
that's actually crime. a good ad.
Yeah, creepy crawly.
Okay,
I felt like
I'm surprised it wasn't already.
Yeah, because I when I seen this, I thought about the creepy crawlers, the little things from back in the day where I don't know if you ever had this. I actually had this as a kid, where you kind of make your own little gummy toys.
Yeah,
like creepy crawly. It was like some spiders and stuff like that. So that's the first thing I thought about. Another one, MAGA. And we could keep on moving.
Okay, after very that, good.
Never heard of it.
Street corn. They added street corn to the dictionary.
That's fair. See, I'm the only one I'm against is IDGAF.
Okay.
This one, shadow ban. You got to really be a. This is an internet term.
You are.
Right
you are. You are chronically online. If that's the case.
Yeah, that one's not.
Oh, and yeah, shout out to 713 who is pushing back on your pushback, Lopez, mentioning that snafu and fubar, both of those acronyms that
but those have
became,
become words.
IDGAF is they, kind of that is how we use.
What do you say?
Now.
IDGAF. Who? How many times? Okay, raise your hand. All right, what 713, like. People's,
you don't know.
Yeah,
you're not in the streets, Lopez.
How many times have you been out there?
Gen Z's now?
I hear people in conversations say snafu. I hear people say, you know, all these others that become words. Oh, okay. Ask me something, Figgy.
What you got going on?
IDGAF.
Okay.
Who the hell says IDGAF?
Maybe these kids.
Who the hell says IDGAF? The hell out of here. Or IDGAF out of here. Okay.
Close.
Another one, FYP for your page. That's another one of those internet ones.
So that's number two. I'm for not, you page. Not a big fan of that.
Yeah, and this one, apparently this is a British slang word for making out.
Mm-hmm.
Snog.
S-N-O-G?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll accept it.
But I've never used it or heard it.
I guess if you over in London or something, hey, you want to snog?
Hey, baby, let's go snog.
Hello, let's snog.
Yeah.
I don't know, but I thought those words was kind of interesting a little bit, man.
Yeah.
It's funny how they add in like new words.
Yeah.
That
I'm cool with it, except for the dumb ones.
I gaff.
It gaff.
Figgy Smith, stay on Sports Radio 610. So we were at a mix and mingle pretty much yesterday with the company, and salute the Odyssey. They put on a cool little event. I got there a little late because, you know, I was a little busy.
Got to salute the Texans, too.
Yeah, they did a really good job. So I got a list of seven things. Just being at a mix and mingle event and how we could get super awkward.
No, that's good.
And I thought about this too because
having a baseball team lose in the midst of it.
This is good.
Yeah. It's funny. It's funny too because I was kind of standing around Reggie and you mentioned something that I think everybody went through this before. Just feeling like an outsider because you're new to the company and you still trying to get to know people.
Yep.
And just that moment of standing around while everybody else talking and having a good time, and you just like, man, I don't know none of these people.
Right. Yeah. And it's like, hey, go mingle. But it's like, all right, the people that I would utilize to then make those connections, they're off doing
already,
their thing too.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So like the people that I was like, oh, I know Fig. I can stand next to Fig, talk to Fig, right? I know Lopez. Lopez gone now. He got to go watch the game. Right? So like the people that you could kind of try and talk to a little bit. And of course, you do a little bit of that, but everybody, you know, you move from one conversation to the next, or somebody gets grabbed by, you know, for an important
somebody
conversation.
More important.
Yeah. And all of a sudden you hear either talking to somebody that you don't really know, or you're just kind of standing there. And
I'm eating
M&Ms.
Yeah, I'm going to shoot down this list real quick. The four small talk.
Forced small talk is a tough proposition.
Hey, so how's everything going?
Mm-hmm.
But you gotta do it. You know, you have to. Like it's especially in events like that.
What about the one where you're forgetting people names? Like you know this person, but you have no idea what their name is. And that is me.
That is also
I'm raising my hand.
I am the king of that.
Are
man.
Y'all afraid of asking again? Because I will ask
I am.
Again.
Especially if they know my name.
Quick, fast, and hurry. I'm like, I'm sorry.
If they
I'm,
say,
I'm awful with names.
If they say, hey, Figgy, what's up, man? It's good to see you, man. I see you.
I try to trick them or use a little, kind of. A end around to figure out their name, you know.
That's cool until it doesn't work.
Yeah,
and then you out here looking
like
real,
I say, hey, have you met Reggie? Like if I don't remember their name, I said, have you met Reggie? So they can say, hi, I'm Bill. Oh, that's right, it's Bill.
Yeah, I just try as much as possible to like name what was your name again? And then I'm probably still, that gives me a slightly better chance. And then next time around, I'm like,
It's funny. I just did it out here not that long ago. So we actually have a new show for one of our sister stations. Mm-hmm. And one of the guys walked past. I'm like, hey, what's up, Fee? And right in that moment, he's like, hey, pleasure to meet you. I'm going to be listening to sports. I did not remember his name at that point. I'm like, dog it. I didn't want to go back and be like, hey, what's your name again? And he just told me like 2 seconds ago.
Automatic? Yeah. Is that who you're talking about? Or are you talking about Anthony?
Yes, I guess. Yeah. I still don't remember.
Okay, I just wanted to see.
Yeah,
okay.
I'm going to have to ask somebody else so I could get all their names. Another one, I guess navigating the group dynamics. Mm-hmm. So trying to fit in mid-conversation with somebody.
That's another tough one.
That's the worst one, man. Mm-hmm. You sitting there, they talking, and you mm-hmm. try to jump in. I did it yesterday.
Yeah.
Reggie and Sean Pendergast was talking. I came in like, man, the Astros, and they both was looking at me like, huh?
Wait, really?
Talking about? Yeah. And I'm like, oh, I thought y'all was talking about the Astros.
Okay. I was like, I hope I wouldn't mean it.
Reggie tried to clean it up a little. Yeah, we always talk about the Astros. So I'm like, damn, I fumbled that one.
I'm trying to give an assist wherever I can. Please, 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 please.
Yeah, what about the overly personal questions?
What are they paying you now, Figgy? Oh,
man. Yeah, that's fun.
That's an absolute no.
Yeah.
That's a conversation over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about people hovering over trying to speak with somebody?
That I'm not good at that. Cause I'll just not hover.
I tried to do that yesterday. I tried to talk to one of our salespeople, mm-hmm. and he was talking to some of the talent, and I'm kind of sitting there waiting for them to stop, and then somebody else come over and they started talking. So I was just standing there looking awkward.
Yeah.
I was just like, you know what? I hit them up later.
Especially with the people that are like do this a lot because they know. You can't wait for the conversation. You just got to jump in.
Yeah.
And I'm not a jump in guy. I'm trying to wait patiently, and all of a sudden, they're gone.
Same.
Yeah. Last one, the awkward silences. Mm-hmm. So when you sitting there talking to somebody one-on-one, and y'all just run out of stuff to say, so now you just standing there. Like, y'all two just sitting next to each other. Where you like, all right, you know what? I'm going to go over here real quick.
That's right.
Yeah.
You try to make an excuse to kind of leave, because both of y'all just standing there.
And yeah.
There's nothing else to say.
And if especially if it's like you're not real, real tight with them.
Yeah.
Like there's not even a, like, okay, so what about blah, blah, blah? No, you don't know.
You don't have much common ground. Yeah. There's very little common ground.
It's just like, yeah, nice to meet you. What do you do? Okay.
Yeah.
And that's it. And y'all just standing there like,
well.
Sometimes it's like, can I circle back to something we were talking about early and just restart that part of the conversation? So you were saying earlier about this.
Yeah.
That's the best thing I got.
Yeah.
That's the best I got. I fired all my shots at this point. There you go. That's a little Figgy's mixtape, 1:20 p.m. right here on In the Loop every weekday. We appreciate you, my man. All right. Coming up next, obviously, we're getting ready to hand off to our guys on the drive. They're out in New Caney at the Buffalo Wild Wings. Go see them fine fellas, 2-6. But before we hand off to them, a little bit more from CJ Stroud, but also we kind of got a little bit more into the weeds on how these Astros might look going forward. We'll do all of that next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
In the Loop, Sports Radio 610, John Lopez, Figgy Fig, and Reginald Atitula hanging out with you. Hope you are having a blast on this Thursday as we continue to move towards a little bit of Texans, Bills, a big-time game. In fact, we were looking at the map when it comes to the coverage map over the entirety of the contiguous United States. And on CBS, that early slate in noon, most of the United States is going to be along with the city of Houston watching this Texans-Bills matchup.
What'd you say, 80%? Thereabouts?
I mean, just off of the map itself.
That's a national game for all intents and purposes.
Kind of, basically.
Yeah.
Like most of the United States is going to have an opportunity to watch that. So, mm-hmm. as national game as you can get without it actually being one of these primetime national games.
Yeah.
So this is going to be a big one. And actually, in that kind of vein, and this is going to be a cut 7 here, Fig, if you don't mind, from CJ Stroud. Because CJ Stroud talked yesterday and we found it really interesting. I think this cuts to the heart of all the things that we've been talking about with these Texas team is just... And so he was asked straight up, what do you think of the folks saying that the Texans have a lot more to prove?
I think, you can tell that we can definitely be better, but to sit 3-1 from the first quarter of the season is definitely a win in my book. But, you know, definitely got to clean up a lot of things to get better. But I think it's very adamant, very noticeable we can get better.
Couldn't ask for more.
Yeah.
I mean, that's your coach said the same thing. D'Amico said the same thing. You don't want them to say, hey, man, we this or that. We got to get better.
Yeah,
it's obvious in the building.
Yeah, and I love that he didn't get him. I mean, I don't expect CJ to get defensive, but he didn't get defensive in that moment. Now, he did make sure to remember, hey, 3-1, don't forget it.
Yeah, but, well, we say that too.
Exactly. Like, that is, I think that's generally the outlook, and it made me feel more comfortable because I know I've just been coming in like, man, am I being too negative? But they do. They have a lot more to prove and to give, and I think that's really the big thing. But then also, if you can give me cut 8 here as well, this was another one because Tank Dell practiced again today.
Yes.
And we're starting to move towards the possibility of him returning. But we talked about the fact that Tank Dell kind of has felt like a depth wide receiver instead of being a prominent wide receiver, like it feels like he should be in that. So in returning and Tank returning, what will it take to get Tank going this season?
I would say just him being himself, our team owning our identity, and really just playing what we see. So I think last year, even though, you know, I think he did really great last year. I know he wants to move on from that and do well this year. And he's very motivated. We're motivated to get him rolling too. So, it's part of my job to get him the ball and to make sure that, you know, he gets his fair amount of targets, you know, just like everybody else. So, that's definitely a key component to this game is getting Tank Dell going because I think he's one of the best receivers in the league.
I think that's going to be a big part of this week. I think Stephon's obviously going to get some touches, but a quarter way into the season, you're not getting anything like you thought you would get out of Tank Dell.
No, I mean, like early on, we were starting to try and, figure out are these end arounds just a way to get the ball into his hands a little bit more to keep him involved? But it feels like you got to find a way to get the ball to him in the air to continue to have him as a threat. And when it comes down to it. So we're really excited about this Bills game. I can't wait to dig into it even more so once we get to tomorrow leading into the game and really break down all the matchups of this. But when it comes to breaking things down, we've been really interested in how the Astros move forward. And one of the things in the break, or just in general, we talked about is the idea that maybe in all likelihood, you can't re-sign Bregman and Tucker at the same time.
I mean, I guess obviously, there's always, you never say never, all that stuff. I don't see it. I don't see how you can sign Bregman and Tucker. And then, oh, by the way, coming up, you got Fromber coming up. You got others. But I really think, like, even for the – like, this sounds weird because they're both so beloved.
Yeah.
And clearly, they've both been integral in winning, championships and making this run. But you got to make the call, I feel. Like, I think it's for the betterment of all the other things you want to do. Like, you want – no matter – again, forget what Dana Brown said – about you basically saying you don't need a great first baseman to win because they did it before with Yuli Gurriel. Forget that. They know that baseball teams want a big time first, so you need a first baseman. I like the young pitching coming back, and there are other players coming back that should pitch and be well, but outfield still needs work. I don't see how you can keep both Tucker and Bregman at the price. Tucker, $200 million for 7 years is his market value. And Bregman is, I think, 4 years, $120 million. That's a lot of money. That's $320 million in those two guys on top of what you're paying Altuve.
Yeah, so what I was kind of thinking is, all right, if I do get what I feel like I want at this point, it's kind of crazy. I'm not even sure if I know what I want when it comes to this Astros team just yet. But if Bregman is re-signed, I was like, okay, so how? Let's see what kind of things you have in the farm that can maybe speak to that. And I went to the prospect rankings, and of course this is a very inexact science. It's just like plugging in play from the prospects because you never know what happens in that level. Even from AAA up to the big league club is not always the easiest transition. But looking at that, I was like, all right, if you do not if you choose Bregman over Tucker in the kind of dichotomy that we have created, right? You probably need to figure out all three outfield positions. I know Yordan plays left field, but I think you'd be more comfortable if he's DHing as opposed to left field.
For the most part, yes.
So if you have your druthers, all three outfield spots, and lo and behold, you look at outfield, your number one prospect, and that's Jacob Melton, who's currently at AAA and is kind of projected to be at the major league level in 2025. Well, that sounds great, doesn't it, right? A lefty throws lefty, bats lefty, and that's an opportunity to throw a guy up there into the outfield. So that's a fantastic thing. And then Bryce Matthews, a shortstop, third baseman, he's the third highest prospect. He is also a AAA, although his ETA is set for 26.
Yeah.
Right? I do wonder, like, if he's maybe
be in big league camp and then see what happens and go from there.
And so, like, those are things, and I'm like, hey, Bryce Matthews is at such a place where he plays shortstop, third base. If Bregman is getting to a place, especially, and depending on how defensively sound Bryce Matthews is that something where Matthews could play third and maybe Bregman goes to first and you fix your first base a problem internally in some ways?
Sounds like you're rebuilding a team.
You know what I mean? Like,
I mean, that's kind of why I don't know if you can keep them both.
And of course, DeZenzo also plays third, but I don't know that we feel all that great about DeZenzo being at that level. Yeah. But hey, man, like you start, you know, building some of these things, and I do wonder if at this level that you have maybe some of the answers, maybe not all the answers. And again, projecting forward is not an exact science in this way, especially when you're talking about guys that are, you know, 24, 22 years of age, like, and then expecting them to come up and be constant contributors at a major league level that's a little bit of a toss up. But I do think that, hey, it starts looking a little interesting when you start looking at some of those. And from the 3-4-6, maybe they shoot down all this because the no Pena wasn't good. Okay, very good. Thank you. but let's ask the fellas. How about this? Let's ask our fellas. Let's go out to New Caney at the Buffalo Wild Wings where our guys are out there. The Drive. Fellas, how y'all doing?
Man, we're doing good, fellas. How about y'all?
Doing all right. We're trying to see if we can figure out a way to keep house and home together when it comes to this Astros team. Man, where are you guys standing on the potential that Bregman has maybe played his last game with this Astros team?
Look, I'm at the same spot I was with some of the other guys that were clear leaders in the clubhouse. I understand the money, you know, the money behind it and the negotiation that needs to take place. I get that. But as a fan, I don't care about it, right? I don't want to hear as an Astros fan, every time a great player comes up and it's time for them to pay him, they just push it as far as they can and it's time for them to pay him. All of a sudden, oh, we just don't pay guys, right? At some point, I hope that my team pays somebody. And I don't know if it's Bregman, I don't know if it's Tucker, but at the end of the day, when a guy comes through the organization that clearly, and Altuve's telling us all, y'all, Altuve's telling us more than we need to know, to be honest with you. When a guy comes through that and says, hey, this guy means more to the organization, this guy means more to the clubhouse, this guy means more to the fan base. We all heard the stories about him and Hunter Brown last year, I think it was. This year it was Spencer Arrighetti. He wrapped his arm around. I mean, when you've got that kind of guy, and I know a lot of people poo-poo on this, but I'm just cut from that cloth. When you've got that kind of guy, whether it's in a company somewhere or on a team, that dude is extremely, extremely valuable, and you take a risk when you let him walk. Now, if they feel like they've got leadership that can replace that, is Pena that level of a guy? Can Altuve, Alvarez, or any of those guys that level of leader? Then cool. I'm not privy to that information, but we know who Bregman is. It's gonna be painful for me to watch him walk if they don't re-up him.
Yo, I just think about the times when they've tried to replace these guys, or like think about every major departure that's happened over the years, whether it's George Springer in center field, whether it's Carlos Correa at shortstop. And I understand that Jeremy Pena had the World Series MVP season. The first month of that season was really good. But outside of that, I don't think that he's been as good as Carlos Correa. My point is, I don't feel like they've replaced the guys that they've lost adequately enough for me to feel good about them losing Alex Bregman. The center field has been a mess ever since George Springer left. I think that they've done okay at shortstop with Jeremy Pena, but I still feel like that's a downgrade from Carlos Correa.
Yeah.
And then if you go to a lesser extended look at first base, since they lost Yuli Gurriel, they basically replaced him with a lesser version of Yuli Gurriel with a washed Jose Abreu. So I think about center field, shortstop, first base, and now we're talking about Alex Bregman at third base. I don't know if I feel good. I know you were talking about Bryce Matthews and the potential of what could be there down the line, but I haven't felt good about what they've done to replace key guys.
Yeah.
Hey, fellas, real quick, Reg, I'm sorry. I got to take. I'm already taking the steering wheel on the Drive.
You got it,
bro. From Ron Ugly, but I got to take it for a second on this crossover, bro.
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real, we're transparent, we're having a hell of a good time with it, and we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.